Welcome to the podcast, Anything's Possible. I'm your host, Joseph Anderson, and for the past 20 years, I have been helping, creatives, actors, athletes, musicians, and such to achieve their dreams, to find to become the person that they want to be, and business owners and all kinds of other things. But one thing that's really fascinated me is hearing the journeys of other people that have actually done this stuff. And so I created this podcast as a way for people to be able to have a space to go to be inspired, and also even to get somewhat of a, I don't want to call it a roadmap, but somewhat of a trail. Because nobody's map is ever the same. Every single person that gets into show business or movies or music or act or being an athlete or anything, everybody has such a different journey. So this podcast is about capturing the journey behind the success. And you guys can find me on Instagram at the It's Possible Guy. And again, it doesn't matter, guys, whether you're, 9 or 99, we all have things that we wish we would have done differently. And now's the time to do them. So today I have the pleasure of having Charlie Toland on the podcast today. So Charlie Toland is, I met after his show he was in called 50 First Dates. It's a musical in London. It was in London. It was absolutely amazing and incredible, and I just loved it. His cast was amazing. He was amazing, and it was just a fun, really, really feel good show. And so after the show, I asked him if he'd come on to after I watched his show, I asked him if he'd come on to my show. But so yeah, so Charlie Tolan, welcome, my friend.
Hi, thanks for
Introduce
having me.
yourself. Anything I haven't already said.
You kind of nailed it all in one. Yeah, I'm Charlie, and I'm very grateful to be chatting to you today. How you been?
I'll be good, man. What about yourself?
Yeah, great, great. Just doing the show, living life. It's amazing.
When I say Charlie was very nice to find a time that worked for both of us, because he's in London and I'm in Arizona, and he didn't make me wake up at like 2:30 in the morning to do this. So I'm grateful. It's only 7:30 in the
Okay, that's not too
morning. So Charlie, I want to so tell me first of all, like, where even the seed of this desire came from to be on the show. Like, I know you have a very unique story, which I'm not going to give away yet. But, like, Charlie, at what moment did you decide, or like even have a desire that you're like, you know what? Maybe I want to be an actor, or maybe I want to be in the, in the West End business. For those of you who don't know, West End is, it's basically London's Broadway. Okay.
Yeah, I mean it's been quite an up and down route to get here. For a long time, when I was very little, I wanted to be an actor and a performer. I've got three older brothers who are all in the industry, so I kind of grew up around musical theatre and I did a lot of amateur theatre. So that was kind of the goal. And then when COVID hit, I was just about to go to university. And then I started getting into music production while I was stuck at home and sort of making my own music. And that's when I was a bit like, maybe I want to do this instead. I think during the pandemic, I'd sort of fallen out of love with performing and musical theater and all that. So I got into making music and then eventually went on to study that for 3 years at university. So I come out of uni with a degree in music production. And there was a little bit of time where I was going, okay, well, what do I do now with this? How do I get a job? And so, to sort of, earn some money while I was figuring out my career, my brother Jack was working backstage at the Book of Mormon. And he got me in backstage there. So I was crewing backstage on this show. I didn't really like shows at that point. And slowly, while I was working there, I would sort of watch from the wings and just think, oh, I feel like I could do that. And And yeah, it was slowly I sort of built this love for it again. And I just thought, you know what? I'm in the perfect space to get back into this industry. And yeah, I've just never looked back since.
Well, first of all, I mean, I think that's really cool that there's a couple things in there. I think that so many people, they really do. They sit on the sidelines and they're watching and they're like, oh my goodness, I would love to do that. But then they never do
Yeah.
it.
There was a good few, couple years. I worked there for 3 years, and then it was
You
only
worked on the Book of Mormon musical for 3 years.
3 years, and it was only in the third year I thought, okay, if I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this. And that's when I started to actually get the ball rolling and focus on how do I actually get into this career.
Well, so dude, do you ever like beat yourself up for not doing it sooner?
Not really, because I just think I think I'm where I'm supposed to be. You know, if I had done it any earlier, I probably wouldn't be in 51st State, so I wouldn't have the agent I have now. I just think everything happens for a reason, and I clearly was supposed to wait it and put the time into honing my skills, and it's led me where I am now. And I think I'm at a point where I've had this great entry into the industry, and hopefully, from the traction the show has got and, the people I've been fortunate enough to meet along the way, it should help me, keep my career going.
Well, and Charlie, you've given us like a pretty quick overview of your career, but I really want to take a deep dive into even like when you were a kid, like that first moment or even moments that you just kind of started to have a desire. Like what sparked that desire in you when you look back, the best that you can remember, because I know for all of us that's a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it probably was a little bit of, going to the theater with my mum and dad in the West End watching these professional shows, but then also seeing my brothers do it and my eldest brother. It wasn't his plan straight away to become an actor, so I think, watching them do it and it work out for them, I just thought this is doable for me. This is something I could achieve in my life. And so I think it was a mix of seeing, people I don't know performing and going, they're great, I want to be like them. And also seeing my family perform and going, they're great, I'd like to do that as well.
Well, and tell me more. So like what shows and stuff were your family in? Like what kind of roles did they take up, did they play?
So my eldest brother, I think before he'd even left drama school, was in Greece. I think it was a tour in Italy. So he'd done that. That was his first job, and then straight out the gate, leaving drama school, went into Wicked as the first cover Bok. So already I was like, wow, like that's not bad going. And then my brother Sam, he was Galileo in We Will Rock You. He was in Bat Out of Hell at the Dominion Theatre. And he was in the Book of Mormon as well. So they've all just done so much. And my brother Jack's done some TV and some film. And he also did a Horrible Histories show. And yeah, I think just watching them all achieve what they wanted to so quickly, it was just really inspiring for me.
Oh, and there's something that you said there. It's like there whether people in their lives have, somebody like you did with your brothers that actually were able to look up to and were able to kind of follow their path. Like you don't have to have those in your families, guys. Like you're able to look out in the world and see people already doing what you want to do, and then you just gotta go do it.
Yeah, definitely.
And kind of find your way.
Yeah, and there are lots of Well, I figured out there are more than one way into the industry. I think a lot of people have this kind of view that you have to do this and this and this to become an actor. And actually, it's not like that. I'm not saying, nobody needs to go to drama school. I think drama school is a great thing. And I think, it helps most people. But for a lot of people as well, it's not very accessible. People can't afford it or just can't go for many other reasons. And I think it's good to show there are other ways. It's a lot harder. I had a lot of rejections to get where I am now, but there are other ways into this industry and into achieving what you want to achieve.
So the big reason, one of the big reasons I wanted you to have you on is because so many people say, oh, I have to go to drama school in order to become an actor. Now, I found it really interesting that you did not go to drama school.
I didn't know.
Like, first of all, why didn't you go to drama school? And second of all, how was it better? Like, did you feel so? Like, I really do. I feel that each of us are like led and guided through our lives to like truthfully by this, I believe it to be God that's, leading us and guiding us, kind of where to go and what to do, almost like a really good GPS that most of us never listen to. And so certain times it's almost like we ignore steps. And other times it's like that step's not for you. So did it not feel right for you to go to drama school? Or was it just like you really wanted to do other stuff? Or I don't know, what was it for you, man?
I think it's a bit of both of what you just said. I think it wasn't right for me at the time, because it was during the pandemic that I was looking to go. And my brother was kind of just finishing as the pandemic hit. And I think watching him just do it all on Zoom, I thought, I don't want to do that. We don't know when, or at the time we didn't know when it would be finishing, what would be happening next year. And like I said, I was getting into making this music and really enjoying that. And I thought, well, this is a skill I don't have. Whereas, with acting and singing, I kind of have been learning that my whole life, I guess. And I thought, I've got an opportunity now to go and do something else and kind of go on my own journey. I feel like my whole life, I've kind of always been compared to my brothers. We've all gone to the same schools and like done the same theater groups. And then it felt like I might be going to the same drama school as them. And it felt like a good thing to just go and do something completely different and not be Sam's brother, Joe's brother, Jack's brother, and just be Charlie and just, figure out, what do I actually want to do in life? Do I just want to be an actor because that's what they've all done, and so I'm just following suit? Or do I want to explore something else and, just see what comes of it? And so I just felt like that was the right move for me. There were times I thought I'd maybe not made a mistake, but thought, did I rush into doing this? But ultimately, I'm so glad I went and, made the friends that I have at university, made the connections, and just put my time into learning something new. And even now in this industry, being an actor, it's still come in handy so much. There's so many shows that require musicians, and so many people in the show currently that want to get into recording their own music and, recording voiceovers and things. And now I can use my degree I've got helping them sort of move into another part of the industry. So, it was a big change in my life, and I think everyone was a bit shocked by it, but I don't regret it at all.
I mean, it sounds to me like what you're really saying is you just followed your path. And I think for so many people, that is the hardest thing.
Yeah. It's taking risks. That's the hardest bit is, sometimes you've got two things in front of you, and option A might be the easier option, but option B might be a big risk, but could lead to who knows what. And I think you've just got to take those risks sometimes and just see where you end up.
Well, it absolutely, I agree with you on the risk. Like, one of the things that I've seen that some people struggle with is this idea of just almost like, I can't think of the words for it, but my brain only works so well at 7:30 in the morning. Almost like going a different path than other people expect you to go. Like, what was that part of your experience like when you told like key figures in your life, like your parents and your brothers, that you're going to music school instead of drama school? Like, how did those conversations go? Were they, "Yay, Charlie, go get 'em," or like how were they?
I mean, they're always supportive in anything. So, I was never worried about that, but they were for sure like confused.
What did they
But
say? Do you remember? Like,
I
what
do
was their actual
remember.
response? Not their secondary response of, "You go do it," or whatever people say, but like, what was their real response at first? They're like, "Are you sure? Like, what are you doing?"
I remember when I had sort of first recorded my first song and put it out. And showed them it, they thought, this is actually pretty good. And my brother at the time said, I'm sure you live a double life sometimes. You just come out with these sort of interests and skills that you never talk about. And so they were a bit like, oh, okay, Charlie makes music now. And then when a few weeks later I said, oh, I've looked at this music school where I can study music production. I think they were at first like, are you sure you want to do that and not audition for drama school? That's what you've been wanting to do your whole life. But I think they want me to just follow what I want to do. If it doesn't work out, at least I gave it a go. I don't think they ever wanted to force me to do anything for my career unless I really, really wanted to. And I think they sort of trusted me to make the choice that was right for me.
Well, I mean, and that's really cool. Like, and a lot of people out there, they don't have supportive families. They don't have supportive siblings. They have siblings that are like, "You're gonna do what now?" And parents that are like, "That is not gonna pay the bills." Like, what would you tell those people? Like, what would you tell the people that are like, "My heart is saying this. My guidance is saying this. God is saying this." It's like one of my favorite quotes. There's a show called The Chosen, and one of the characters says, "It feels right, but is it?" And it's just like that sums it up for me, that people know oftentimes what they want to do, what they desire to do, but they don't do it because they're like, "Oh, are you sure?" Like, what would you tell those people about following their heart and trusting it versus trusting everyone around them that's telling them the exact opposite thing?
Tough thing. I think, you've got to accept that whatever it is, it's going to be scary and it's going to be difficult. It's going to feel like everyone's against you on this thing, which I don't think is always the case. I think people are always against it with the best intentions for you. So I just think, if you've got this thing you really, really just want to throw everything at, sometimes it's best to just do it. Do it and think later.
Like, I love what you just said there. Do it now, think later. Like that is gorgeous. I mean, it really is. Because I find myself even there are so many times that I overthink everything.
Totally. I'm the biggest overthinker there is. And sometimes you've just got to tell your brain to shut up and just, take each step as it comes. And realistically, what you've got to think, the worst people can say to you is no. And that was a big thing I had to learn, was you might go for something, someone will say, sorry, not today. That's it. At least you gave it a go.
So you had mentioned before that you had, tons of different rejections and stuff. Like, tell me more about that experience, because when I talked to you, what I had kind of heard is when you were working on the Book of Mormon musical, and every time I say that, I generally laugh, guys, because I'm a member of that church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I've also never seen that. But yeah, so. Like, what was, so tell me about the experience of going from stagehand, which that's pretty much what you were on Book of Mormon, right? To getting your first role.
So I did this like concert whilst I was working backstage, and that was what kind of turned me back onto doing theatre. And whilst I was backstage, I had, the odd audition for things. And
What concert? What do you mean concert? Like you were a stagehand on a concert, or like
I
you?
sang at this concert. I was a singer in it.
What
And
was this?
it was a new musical called Sin.
Okay.
And it was I think, was it one night or maybe a week? I think it was a week doing this concert of this show that would be being workshopped in the studio at the other palace. Quite full circle. And that
That's
was.
cool. So 51st Dates is at the theater called the Other Palace, which is one of the coolest theaters I've honestly ever been to, guys. So yeah, like that's crazy.
It is a
At
bit of
the
a
Other
full circle
Palace.
moment. Because this was in the, there's like the main house, which is where 51st Dates is. And then next door, there's a little studio with a kind of a bar and tables and chairs set up with a little stage on it. So that's where we did the concert. And I remember there was like 10 of us in this tiny dressing room for this concert. And so I did that.
So how did you even get the role for
I saw it on
this
Instagram.
concert? What's say it?
I saw it on Instagram. There was like an ad to audition.
No way.
And I think a friend of mine had sent it to me. And this was when I was still kind of like, I don't know if I want to be a performer yet. But I was like, you know what? I'll go to it. I'll see what happens. I remember we had to do like a little excerpt of a monologue. And we had to sing a little bit of a song. And I showed up that day. I hadn't rehearsed the song or the monologue. I chose them that morning because I was just so like, I don't really know if I'm bothered about doing this. I showed up, I did the song and the monologue. And then I think I got a phone call that evening saying, we want to offer you the part. The part was called Jack. Well, no, actually, I was offered the part Sam, which was kind of like a supporting character. And then the lead guy had dropped out. And then they asked me if I would play the lead guy in it. I thought, yeah, fine. So I kind of was at this point where I was playing the lead in this workshop for a show. I wasn't even sure if I wanted to be a performer yet. So that was a bit of a strange experience, but it was good. That definitely helped to sort of rekindle the flame of wanting to be an actor. And I met some good friends on that. And then after that, I
Well, even
kind of.
with that show, do you rem like was there a particular moment? Because you said that was, because some people have like it's like a series of moments, adds up, and to like, that insight that they're like, oh my goodness, this is what I want to do. And other people, like, you might just have that experience in one single moment. You're like, holy smokes, this is what I want to do. Like, how was it for you?
Yeah, there were definitely a couple of moments, but doing that show, I think that the first night maybe when we sort of finished the show and did the bows in front of the audience, I think that was the moment I was kind of like, this feels good. You know, it feels good to give a good performance and have good feedback.
Dude, you just said it right there. This feels good. That is everything. Like, whatever feels good for us is good for us. So I love that you said that. So many people out there, like, they just, it's like something feels really good and then they don't do it. And I've had, it's interesting because I've had other, like, I love the experience. It's almost like these opportunities kept coming to you. And you went after them, you tried. Because and we're like worst case scenario, like I think when you show up and do something, you get an education. It's like either, oh my goodness, I love this, or I mean, I had an experience where I thought there might be something I wanted to do, and I had an opportunity to go do it. I did not love it. And it was just that experience of, hey, this doesn't feel good.
But you did it, and that's the important thing. I think that kind of helps you grow as a person.
Well, yeah, that too, but it also said it also closed a door.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes we have all these opportunities that we're like, oh, there's a part of me that thinks I would love to do that. And it's like, okay, well, go try it for a day. Go shadow somebody for a day. Go experience and see what it's actually like. And then we go try it, and it's either like, nope, or it's like,
Oh, 100%. And there were jobs within the music industry that I sort of shadowed people on. And I remember I shadowed someone on in a recording studio, just sort of recording. I thought, oh, this is amazing, like this is great. But it didn't hit the same as being on a stage performing. I didn't get that same sort of rush. You do. And yeah, you just feel it when you're doing what you're meant to do without sounding corny. You just feel
No, Charlie, that is not corny in the
it.
slightest. Like, you feel good when you're doing, whether you're meant to do it, whether whatever. It's like, I believe that when we came to this earth, God knew that it would be really challenging because there'd be a lot of people telling us what to do. And he's like, well, what if I made it feel so simple that a caveman could understand it? It's like if they're going in a direction and it feels really good, they'll be like, huh, this feels good. Maybe I should keep going. And if they're going in a direction and it feels awful, it's like, huh, this feels bad. Maybe I should stop doing that. It
It is as simple as that, though. Sometimes I think that's it goes back to overthinking things. Sometimes it is as simple as just do what feels good.
really is. And there's, and some people are going to wonder what it means to feel good. And I think that just means there's this beautiful sense of peace and joy and, all those wonderful feelings. But back to the noise in our head, it's like one of the things that I was just sitting in church on Sunday and I was reminded of this because I struggle with overthinking all the time. It's just from the movie Luca. There's this part. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've seen the film. Yeah, I've seen
Okay,
it once.
cool. So there's, one of the characters asking another character about like all the thoughts in his head or something like that. And he just says, whenever I have all these overwhelming thoughts, I just say, Silencio, Bruno. And truthfully, even that like can be super helpful because I think the hardest part about the thoughts in our head is it's almost like I think they're coming from God, even when most of them are not, like 99.9% of them are not. And the kicker is they either feel good, they either feel that beautiful feeling, or they don't.
Yeah.
But it's okay to just say Silencio, Bruno, to your thoughts and keep moving forward anyways. And if you're
100%.
moving in a wrong direction, and maybe you've experienced this, I know I have, It's like you're moving in a wrong direction. It just feels awful to the point you're just like, I can't do that. It just doesn't feel right. Have you ever had that?
Yeah, I have. And I think while
Any
I was,
particular experience that you're willing to share?
well, while I was working backstage, it just got to a point where I knew, this job is fine. I'm earning good money. It's a relatively easy job, but for me, it's not fulfilling. It's not what I know I want to do. And there was definitely some points where I was just miserable, and I was mentally not great, because it's just tough, putting in the work for something you don't want to be doing.
Okay, you hit something there, and if I ever ask you a question you don't want to answer, just say so. But like, you said it was meant like mentally tough. Are you willing to talk more about like those struggles?
I mean, it just got to a point where I just thought, why am I doing this? What am I doing with my life? I just sort of felt like I was kind of existing and not actually doing anything fulfilling for me. And that was really difficult to cope with for a while. And I think that was when I was then sort of like, look, if you want to do this, if you want to be a performer, if you want to be a musician, now's the time. You have to just do it and just throw yourself towards it, or this feeling of like nothingness isn't going to go away unless you make it go away.
Well, so like what after you had that and you start like you made a decision that you were going to move in the direction of acting. Like what was your first tiny step that you took that just kind of told yourself and even like the universe that you're like, "Hey, I'm ready."
I think that was maybe working on my weak points. I started having singing lessons, and I remember one day at work, I went into the office of the company manager, who sort of, keeps the show running. And I went in there when the resident director for the show was there, and I said, look, I introduced myself. I said, hi, I'm Charlie. I work backstage, and I would really love to audition for the show. And it took me about 10 goes walking up to the door of that office before I actually walked in and asked. I was just so scared. And then eventually a friend of mine, Matthew, who was in the show, said, listen, man, the worst you can say is no. So I just went in and I said, hi, I'd love to audition for the show. And she said, yeah, fine. She said, the auditions are on this date. If you send me your spotlight, which is like the CV for actors, if you send me that, I can pass it on to the casting team and we can get you in for it. And then I remember that day I left the office. I printed it off that day, went back the same day and gave it to her. And that's when I sort of thought, you've committed to this now. You've put yourself out there and someone's giving you a chance, so don't mess it up.
And what happened from there?
So from there, a couple good friends of mine on the show reached out when I said, I've got the audition. And they said, look, if you need any help with any of the dialogue, the dance audition, the song, I'm here. So I had some great people. I had my friend Jake, who was working with me before he had to do the show. He would come in early and do these dances with me and just break it down slowly so I know what to do. My friend Sean would go through the scenes, really pinpoint the comedy bits and what they want from the character. And then my singing teacher would go through my songs with me and just sort of make sure I've sounded good enough to be there. And yeah, all these people are just helped me so much to get where I am.
And just to clarify, was this the show that you got picked up for? The or was this were
No,
you
this
actually
book,
auditioning for the Book of Mormon
I was
musical?
auditioning for the Book of
Okay,
Mormon.
that's what I thought. I was just clarifying. So I want to point something out. It's just like, guys out there in the world, he just started. Like, it probably he might have even looked like a crazy person walking up to that door 10 times and walking away 10 times.
I felt like a crazy person.
But it doesn't matter. Like, he is where so many people want to be. He is performing a show in the West End. Like, but he just took the steps. And the other thing that I think is really cool, have you seen the Muppet movie?
Yes, I love that movie.
Dude, me too. I think that's how it works. It's like you start, you move on a journey, and then you find your people, and then you find your support.
Yeah.
You know, like we have to be the ones to take the step first. You know,
Yeah.
as you've so clearly demonstrated, like, and then we get every we get the help that we need. You know, as my like as somebody once told me, it's like you will not get the support sometimes from where you want it, but you will get the support. It's like some people won't get it from their parents, they won't get it from their family, but they will get it from somewhere.
There's always people that want to help, always. And you know, these people that helped me out, I didn't even really ask them at first. They just said, because they've been there. Everyone has been in the same spot, you know. You whether it's an audition for a show or a job interview, everyone's been in that spot of thinking, what do I do to make sure I'm the best I can be for this? And there's always people out there that want to help and want to give you that support because they know what it's like.
What did that feel like to have this just like all this support from people that are, you know, pretty decent at their craft? I mean,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's some of the best people have, I guess, quote unquote, trained me. And it's just, I think. I only really came to terms with just how lucky I was when doing this show, and I don't mean that in a way of I wasn't appreciating their help at the time, but seeing sort of where I've got to and what's happening in my life at the moment just made me think, God, I couldn't have done this without half the people that have helped me get where I am. And even the people in the show now, you know, I'm working with some brilliant actors like John Marquez, who plays my dad, Georgina Castle, who's our leading lady, like just some of the greatest performers I've ever seen, and just the kindest souls you could ever work with. And they've just taught me so much about being a good performer and being a good person within the industry, and I'll be forever grateful for that.
I definitely sense, excuse me, I definitely sense the gratitude and like just the, you know, that grateful spirit that like you really do have. I mean, I really see it. Like, and so I want to go back to, so you do all these auditions for the Book of Mormon musical, and now I didn't meet you at the Book of Mormon musical, which is, but like, so what happened after that?
Yeah, so I think I had, I want to get this right. I think I had four auditions for it this year and didn't end up getting it. I think I was quite close, but didn't end up getting it, unfortunately. And after all the auditions were done, I'd booked a holiday to Copenhagen with my girlfriend. So we went there, and while we were away, I got this email saying, you've got to do a self-tape for this new musical called 50 First Dates. And I said, what is 50 First Dates? I'd never heard of the film or anything about it. And I think the self-tape was due in the next day. And that was the day I got home from Copenhagen. So I was so stressed. I was in this This country I've not been in before. I've got this audition due tomorrow, and I've got to film it all, learn this new song because the song was from the show. So I had to learn this new song. I had to learn this dialogue, and think I'm so grateful my girlfriend is so patient with me because I'm sure I was a nightmare that day. So I'm desperately trying to learn this song, and they sent a little recording of what it's meant to sound like, and I sent it to my singing teacher, who then sent me back the same day him singing it so I could learn it, which he's amazing. I'm so glad.
Oh.
So I got home the next day. We flew back. We couldn't even get home and, tell my parents how the trip was or anything like that. I was like, right, I need to go upstairs, get my camera set up, get into costume or whatever, and start filming this self-tape. My girlfriend Alex, she's helping me film it. She's doing all the dialogue with me. And the dialogue was okay. We kind of got through it, and I thought, I don't want to think about it too much because we've not got enough time. And then when it got to singing the song, I can remember so vividly getting so frustrated at myself because I just thought, I'm not doing this right. I'm not good enough for this. I was like, there's no point even trying. I'm not going to get this. So we did one last take, and I just went, you know what? Send that. It will do. And miraculously, I then got a recall for it. And I think that was when I was kind of like, don't think too much about what you're doing during the performance. I just, that last take, I said, you know what, just press play, we'll see what happens. And that was the one I ended up using.
Yeah, there's so much I love in that, Charlie. Like, it all. So you're trying to tell me all these random thoughts that come through our head really aren't that helpful for us. You
Yeah,
suck. You're
I just
awful. You this that was horrible.
Yeah, and then I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna switch my brain off. I'm just gonna sing this song. I'm gonna send that off. If they like it, they like it. If they don't, I gave them everything I had.
I love that, man. Well, and most importantly, like, there's people out there, I guarantee it, that have done what you did. But when those voices get in their head, they're like, dude, that was horrible. Instead of hitting the send button, they hit the delete button.
Yeah, and I've been there. There have been times I'd have to do these self-tapes for cruise ships to be a singer on them, and I would sing all these songs, and I can remember one time like really breaking down to my girlfriend, just being like, "I'm not cut out for this." And I really thought, I'm gonna quit. I'm not even gonna try and be an actor anymore. This is it. And I deleted all these videos and didn't do that self-tape. And then the 50 First Dates audition was the next audition I got. And I thought, I'm so glad I didn't quit at that point.
So, like, from the moment you were backstage at the Book of Mormon musical to deciding that you wanted to act again, so how long did it take for you to get the show for that? I think it was called Sin.
Sin, yeah. So I got Sin pretty early on. I think that was within my first year of Mormon.
Okay, so he said early on, and he said within his first year of acting, just to point that out, like. Sometimes journeys take however long they take. Okay, so you got that, and that was a week,
That was it.
and then after that, how long did it take you to, like, how many other auditions did you go through that didn't work out?
A lot. A lot. Yeah.
Any particular, like you said, Book of Mormon. What else did you audition for?
The Book of Mormon is probably one of the best audition processes I've been through. But there have been others where, I've gone in and I just thought, God, that was awful. I did not nail that. But that's kind of part of it. When people are at drama school training, I think you kind of have that mock auditions to get used to it, where I had to get used to it by jumping in the deep end and going in front of a panel and embarrassing myself, basically.
Well, dude, and you said it right there. It's like, I just had to jump in the deep end. Like you just like when you jump in, you just learn to swim because you have to. Like as long as you don't stop trying to swim, you swim eventually. You know, it helps to learn a few things, but like, but so like, how many auditions would you say were between, like desiring to be an actor, so like being backstage at the Book of Mormon musical, how many auditions between that and actually getting 51st Dates?
Wow.
Ballpark, did you have to like add?
Ballpark, I would say over 20.
Okay, so he did 20 auditions. That's 20 times of, you know, preparing music, preparing scripts, preparing others.
And
And
for a
I
lot
would
of,
say plenty of other people probably did way more than 20 to get their roles.
totally, yeah. And a lot of the audition as well was preparing stuff on instruments as well. So it was a lot of work for a lot of rejections, but that is the industry, you know.
What made you keep going? Because some people are like, well, it's just not going to happen. What was your mindset like during the rejections and during the process of just like, were you like, oh, the next one's going to be it? Or.
I don't think I was ever thinking, you know, the next one will be mine. I think I sort of went into it going, these shows audition hundreds of people. So the likeliness that I'm going to be the best one out of all these people that have been to drama school, that have trained for years, is very unlikely. So I was always very realistic about it. But, you know, when I would get really far in the process for a show and not get it, that did hit hard. I think the thing that kept me going was that people on these panels were saying, you are good enough. You just need to hone your craft a little bit more. And so that's kind of what I did with these. I think I would take auditions for sort of smaller productions as just sort of practice, kind of. And so eventually, when it got to these bigger shows like Mormon and 51st Dates, and I was being seen for them, I sort of understood myself better as a person and as a performer. And I'd sort of honed my craft a little bit more that I was seeing, oh, I've got a recall for this. Oh, I've got another recall. They want me to learn some extra material. And so, you know, it was a lot of the rejection was tough, but definitely necessary.
And when you say hone your craft, like, do you mean like were you continuously working with an acting coach, with a singing coach, with other coaches you might work with?
So I've only ever had a singing teacher, and that was maybe in the last year or so. But the thing with acting is, I think a lot of it is just it just comes to you what to do, I think. When you're
Yeah, when you're
seeing,
in the moment almost.
yeah, a lot of it is just the choices you make in the moment. And there are things you can do. I used to do this thing where if I'd see a scene in a film that I thought that was amazing, like the, what was that Timothée Chalamet movie? Beautiful Boy. Did you see that?
No.
So there's this scene with Timothée Chalamet and Steve Carell in this diner, and it's quite a heart-wrenching scene. And I'd like to get the script for it and just think, okay, well, how would I do this? Would it be any different or would it be exactly the same? And I think from doing that, you kind of understand why people make certain choices and why actors sort of deliver lines the way they do. And so that was sort of my way of understanding emotion, I guess, within a scene and different choices you can make.
So you just got to playing. I mean, like we think about it as like little kids, right? We just play. Like if we wanna, we pretend we're actors all the time as little kids. We pretend to, you know, be our favorite characters. We pretend all kinds of things, and we just start daydreaming. Like the question I want to ask you is like, what kept you going during the really hard times? And if you don't mind sharing, like what also was one of the hardest things that you went through on this journey, and how did you overcome it?
going. I think I knew I wasn't good enough yet. And that's why I was like, well, if I keep doing this, I'm gonna get better. And I just sort of knew in myself that I could do it. I just needed someone to give me a chance.
So the thing that kept you going was understanding that you already weren't good enough, that your skills weren't there, and that if you just kept going, you would get better. I think that's really good advice.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be a, I'm untrained. I've never done any of this stuff before. I know I'm not gonna walk in and be I don't know, Robin Williams, but I thought if I keep trying, eventually I'll actually get to a point where people go, he isn't actually awful.
So you're laughing. I find that just like, some people would like put that in a bin sometimes as the worst advice ever. But I actually think it's really good. It's like, yeah, well, I understood I wasn't very good. Like, why would I be? Because I hadn't practiced near as much as these other guys. And if I
Yeah,
just
no,
and if I just kept going, I would get there.
started auditioning, I had not done any work on myself as a person or as a performer. So I went into this room not knowing who I was and probably left knowing even less about myself. But once I realized you've actually got to, put the work in and practice, is when I started seeing better results. It is as simple as that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, dude, and it's funny because like everywhere else we understand that, except when it comes to our goals and dreams. It's like my nieces and nephews, they play this game called Fortnite. Never played it, right? Well, they came out with a Simpsons season where you get to play in all like the Simpsons land. It's called Springfield. And so they finally got me to play it. And it was the coolest thing ever, other than like I knew going in, I had no idea how to play that game. So I wasn't like, oh my goodness, I'm not first place already. Like, and I use that example because so many people out there do play ex like crazy amounts of video games, but it works the same in the real world too. It's like, why would you know how to be an actor? Why would you know how to sing? Why would you know how to do anything if you've never done it?
Yeah.
So I just love that advice. But like, dude, what would be your. So what's one of the hardest things that you went through on this journey?
I'm not really sure what the hardest thing I went through is. I think, like I said, there was that time where I just wanted to quit because I think all the rejection had sort of got to me. I think we try so hard to not let things like that bother us when deep down it does. And I think if you don't just accept, I'm upset about that, but it's okay. You sort of bottle it all up until you get to a point when you go, it all comes out at once. And I think that's what I sort of did. I sort of bottled up my disappointment, I guess, until I got to a moment where I just thought, I'm not good enough for this, and I want to quit. And I can remember, like, I was crying my eyes out to my girlfriend, just being like, why do I try? What, like, why am I putting all my energy into this thing that's going nowhere for me? So that was probably the toughest point I had. But like I say, that was right before my audition for 50 First Dates, and that's just how unpredictable it is being an actor. One minute you're crying your eyes out going, this is the worst thing ever, and the next minute you're going, I'm gonna be in this new musical with all these amazing actors.
And the next minute, you're crying your eyes out on stage.
Yeah. I still have that fear now. I spoke to Georgina the other day and I just thought it pops in my head every day that this could be the only thing I ever do. But I think I'm kind of okay with it. I've done it now and it's been amazing. And if I never do anything again, I think this has been the best experience ever.
I don't think that'll be the case with you. I mean, unless that's what you want. But like, I mean that. So like that being said, like what advice? So there's two questions. What advice would you give to a kid that wants to become an actor? And then what advice would you give to an adult that's just kind of, thrown the towel in on their hopes and dreams and just, they went to that moment like you did that they're, I just can't go anymore, but they quit instead of kept going. Like what advice would you give to both of those groups about pursuing their dream of there's even their secret dream of becoming an actor?
Yeah, I think to me the most important thing for a kid or anyone that wants to be in this industry or any sort of creative industry is being open to the fact that 9 times out of 10 it's not very nice. There's a lot of lows that come with it. When you're working and you're in these big shows, it's the highest of highs, but I think it's good to be realistic about the lows of it and then the rejection, and it's not gonna all happen overnight. But that being said, if it's what you want to do, if you think there's nothing else that would make me happier, you just gotta go for it. You just gotta put yourself out there, do anything you can to get then contacts or to get seen in any way. Like, you just gotta go for it because you never know what could happen.
That's beautiful, man. Like, so the last question I have for you, what's your dream now? And what steps are you taking to get there?
My dream now. I want to keep on performing 100%. But it's tough. My dream now is to just be in a place where I can do what I love and also live my life and not have to worry about what I'm gonna do next, basically. I'd love to do a play. That is definitely top of my list.
Like a play, not a musical? Is that what you mean? Or write a play?
I'd love to do a play and not do a
Yeah,
musical. But then also, musicals are the best.
say that one more time. I coughed over your response.
I was just saying, I would love to do a play and instead of a musical. But musicals also do have my heart.
Well, man, I appreciate all the things that you've shared today, Charlie. I know we're at time and you've got to run, but like, thank you, man. And again, guys, if you ha like if you're hopefully this musical 50 First Dates comes over here and goes on tour in the US, but if you happen to be in London, and I guess, well, it's within the next week, so by the time this is published, it'll be over, but no, if it does come over, you gotta check it out. It was just so fun and so amazing and so awesome. But yeah, thanks so much, Charlie. Do you want to tell people how they can connect with you if they want to, whether it's Instagram or YouTube or whatever?
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Instagram at Charlie Toland underscore. And that's pretty much all the socials I use. That's
Okay.
pretty.
Well,
Yeah, Charlie Toland underscore.
Thanks again, Charlie, for being here,
Well, thanks
and
for having me.
super appreciate it, man. And yeah, thanks.
Great. Thank you. Cheers.